So good morning. This is Chair Rena Moran. Pursuit of House Rule 10.01. I call this remote meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran.
Present.
Moran, present. Vice Chair Olson.
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Garofalo.
Present.
Garofalo, present. Representative Albright.
Present.
Albright, present. Representative Becker Finn.
Present.
Becker Finn, present. Representative Bernardi.
Present.
Bernardi, present. Representative Eklund.
Present.
Eklund, present. Representative Hansen.
Present.
Hansen, present. Representative Hassan.
Hassan, present.
Hassan, present. Representative Hertas.
Hertas, present.
Hertas, present. Representative Hornstein.
Present.
Hornstein, present. Representative Johnson.
Present.
Johnson, present. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling.
Present.
Liebling, present. Representative Lilly.
Lilly, present.
Lilly, present. Representative Mariani. Representative Mariani. Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, present.
Marquardt, present. Representative Miller.
Miller, present.
Miller, present. Representative Nash, excused. Representative Nelson.
Present.
Nelson, present. Representative Noor.
Noor, present.
Noor, present. Representative O'Neill.
O'Neill, present.
O'Neill, present. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, present.
Pawlowski, present. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, present.
Petersburg, present. Representative Pinto.
Pinto, present.
Pinto, present. Representative Schumacher.
Schumacher, present.
Schumacher, present. Representative Schultz.
Present.
Schultz, present. Representative Scott.
Present.
Scott, present. Representative Sundin.
Present.
Sundin, present. Representative Mariani. That concludes the roll. There is a quorum present.
A quorum is present. So our first agenda item is approval of the minutes from our hearing on Thursday, April the 15th. The minutes were included in the hearing documents emailed to you by committee staff. Are there any questions or corrections to the minutes? All right. Vice Chair Olson, would you like to make a motion to approve minutes?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Olson moves approval of the minutes for April the 15th. Please unmute briefly for a voice vote. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. So members, I just want to say welcome back. We have two bills on the agenda today and a hard stop at 10:30. We will start with the Department of Corrections Claim Settlement Bill. This is the first and only stop for the bill, which is traditionally referred directly to the Ways and Means Committee. And it will pay for using the other bill's target from the budget resolution. So the chair will move that House File 2360 be recommended for placement on the general register. Chair Murphy, welcome to the committee. I see there's an author's amendment to put the bill in the shape you would like it. So the chair will move the A21-0173 author's amendment. Okay, well, can we take a quick voice vote on that? On me moving the A21.0173. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion is approved. So, Chair Murphy, why don't you give us an overview of your bill? And then we will move into questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. House File 2360, as amended, is the traditional claims bill to the state of Minnesota from people that have grievances, and they can request a claim on the state. It is they are vetted very, very carefully by the departments that they have a claim against and by the legal teams that is represented by the vice revisor, Jason Keenly. And the claim subcommittee on claims is a 6-member, 3 members from the Senate and 3 members from the House that meet. We met on April 7th from 6:30 p.m. to 10:40 p.m. We had many claims, and number 5 in your packets and number 6 in your packets are the main explanations of what the claims were. And we have an exoneration award that the committee is unanimously recommending be paid for $108,684.65. We have sentenced to serve community works service claims for the Department of Corrections to the amount of $1,180.63. And we have individual claims for injuries for 4 different complaints, and for a total appropriation that we are asking for $248,356.28. If there are any questions, Revisor Keenly is online and will be glad to answer.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. So, members, are there any questions or discussion to the bill as amended? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you, Representative Murphy, for your work on this. There's no controversial component to this, and my understanding is that you have followed precedent in how this committee is being awards claims. Likewise, my understanding is that this was unanimously recommended by your committee. For those reasons or others, I'd recommend that members of the committee support the bill. Thank you.
Okay. There being no further discussion to the bill, the chair renews her motion that House File 2360, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Yes.
Albright, aye. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Johnson, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani, excused. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Representative Nash, excused. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, aye.
O'Neill, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Pinto?
Pinto, aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Schultz?
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Sundin? Sundin, aye. 26 ayes and 0 nays.
Here we go. There have been 26 ayes and 0 nays. The motion prevails. House File 2360, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register. Thank you so much, Chair Murphy.
Thank you.
So, remember, the last bill on the agenda is House File 991, the Tax Omnibus. Chair Marcutt, would you like to move your bill and present it to the committee?
Madam Chair and members, thank you. I'd like to move House File 991.
Please present your bill, and we, after your presentation, we will add the amendment.
Madam Chair, do you want to add the amendment now? Or?
Is it a delete all?
No, this, we could do the amendment now, and it's just a few minor items, quite frankly.
Okay.
So I would like to move the A7 amendment, if that'd be okay, Madam Chair.
That is just fine. So yes. Chair Mark Court moves the A7 amendment. Any questions? You want to explain it real quick?
You bet. So thank you, Madam Chair. It does two things. It clarifies the definition of what is a restaurant in the part of the bill that provides a sales tax exemption to restaurants purchasing COVID-19 related items. And it also adds $24.9 million to the county business relief grants, and then creates a floor for those counties at $150,000. So that is the amendment.
That's the amendment. Thank you. Thank you for that information. Members, any questions to the amendment? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is added. Okay, Chair Marquardt, to your bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. So House File 991 is amended. It takes a lot of work to get to this point. I really want a couple thank yous before I begin describing the bill. First of all, thank you to our wonderful staff. We all know that. Doesn't even have to be repeated, but both nonpartisan and partisan, thank you so much. Want to thank the Tax Committee. We, as always, have had great discussion. And has always, I think, created a good bill because of the discussion we do have. I want to thank the leads, Republican lead Representative Davids and new Republican lead Representative Miller for their work, and Vice Chair Les Lagarde, and also thank Chair Joachim, whose property tax division report is part of this tax bill. So. Thank you all for all the work, the hard work into this product. So, members, this tax bill stands up for families, workers, students, and small businesses. And I have no doubt that this bill will make a positive difference in the lives of those who got hit hardest by the pandemic. And as I mentioned, that was our families, our workers, our students, and small businesses. And besides dealing with the immediate kind of recovery of COVID-19, this tax bill also provides for the long-term, ongoing, stable investments that we need to make in education, housing, healthcare, public safety, those areas that post-pandemic will make these areas stronger and create a better and stronger Minnesota for everyone everywhere in this state. So specifically, the tax bill, it provides over $1 billion, provides over $1 billion of tax cuts and aids to our families, our workers, and our small businesses, not just to deal with the recovery for COVID-19, but also to position our families, workers, and small businesses for a stronger foundation so they can be better and stronger into the future. And this bill has a zero target, as you know. So those $1 billion of tax cuts and aids are paid for by creating a tax bill that levels the playing field, creates more tax fairness, and narrows the income inequity and inequalities that we have in this state. So members, what's in the bill? I first of all will say that on the production, it's a bipartisan bill. There are at least, and I might have missed one or two, at least 29 Republican provisions in the bill. The largest component of the bill, 60%, is federal conformity. So we are a static conformity state, which means, unlike a lot of other states, we don't automatically conform when the federal government does. We're static, which means we conform up to a specific date. And the last date was December 31st, 2018. And so there's been like five actions since then by the federal government, and 60%, $600 million of tax cuts in this bill is that conformity. And not only does it provide a tax cut when you conform, but it also makes tax filing simpler. And anytime we can do that, it's a good thing. One half of the bill is two major areas that have had strong bipartisan support. So first one is the Paycheck Protection Program. This bill conforms to the first $350,000 of every loan. And members, that will completely cover about 94% of all loans. That will completely cover about 94% of all loans. That gets to our Main Street businesses, our ma-and-pa shops, our family-owned businesses. Think about it, our hardware stores, our groceries, our restaurants, beauty salons, fitness centers. And you can go to federalpay.org, which gets statistics from the Small Business Administration. And so I did some research, and at $350,000 on loans, it covers 91.4% of all restaurant loans in Minnesota, 99% of all loans that went out to beauty salons in Minnesota, and 97.4% of all loans for fitness centers. And this could provide a tax break for a business of up to over $34,000. And so this is about $240 million tax cut. Another big area, of course, is on unemployment insurance compensation. This will match what the federal government is doing. Minnesota will have a subtraction on the first $10,200 up to an income level of $150,000. This will provide tax cuts, very important tax cuts, to over 500,000 Minnesotans. And if you're like at the first tier 5.35% rate, that's about a $545 tax cut per person. So if you've had a person and their spouse, you can times that. That's over $1,000 of relief to that family. So that's about $235 million. So half the bill is really in those two areas, which is really important. And it's going to help families and those who during the COVID-19 lost their jobs. So what else is in there for individuals? There's a $60 million expansion of the working family credit. That is a credit and a very successful program that rewards work. It lessens poverty. It creates a great transition from welfare to work. And every study that you look at shows the impact of the working family credit. We increase that by $60 million. We also expand in this bill the homestead credit state refund and the renter's credit. So that will equate to $30 million of property tax cuts. And so it will impact about 75,000 homeowners at an average tax cut of about $184. And for renters, it will impact 275,000 renters with an average cut of about $57. The student loan credit is expanded, about $9 million for those who have student loans. Housing, $55 million go into housing, into workforce housing and workforce affordability. And one area which I think is really going to be beneficial is $25 million of homeless housing aid going out to counties. And counties have told us that a big issue in their counties is housing instability. and that housing instability where you've got students and others that don't have a shelter over their head increases their cost and increases their property tax levies. And so this is a formula that will be sent out based on the number of students that you have homeless. And as a teacher myself, I don't know how a student can learn if the night before they didn't have a roof over their head. This is going to be excellent. There's also about another $70 million of conformity for individuals dealing with charitable contributions, firefighters and first responders, student loan payments, and others. So quite a bit there to individuals. How about the small businesses? Besides the Paycheck Protection Program, the county business relief grants, $95 million go out to these businesses. And we've talked about that we weren't going to leave any businesses behind. So this is going to go out to those businesses that might have got a PPP loan, but because they didn't make any money this year, they're not going to see any immediate impact. They can get money from the counties. Or maybe they didn't get a PPP loan. Or they've fallen through the cracks. And the good thing about this is that our counties have been super great partners. They've already done this twice. The CARES funding, they dished out about $100 million. And then in November, the state sent another $115 million around to be sent out through the counties. So the counties right now have already distributed about $215 million, about 15,000 loans or grants out to businesses in their communities. So this is a distribution method that works, and it's going to get out and make sure we don't leave any business, small business, impacted by COVID-19. None of them are going to be left behind. Every county is guaranteed about $150,000. There's a couple extras on that is Hennepin County gets $4.75 million extra to go to businesses impacted by fires. This is the same type of treatment Melrose and Alexandria is getting in the bill. And also $2 million is going to extra to Lake of the Woods County for the Northwest Angle. If you've heard about that, if you've ever gone up there to fish, the only way you get there by land is through Canada. And that's been closed because of COVID-19. And this year they built a 30-mile ice road to get there. But business has really plummeted, and there's $2 million for that. Also, there's a statewide levy. We've increased the market value exemption from $100,000 to $150,000. That's $31 million of property tax relief for, again, your Main Street small businesses. And so now about $10.5 billion of market value is exempt from the statewide property tax. Mentioned a little bit in the amendment, there's a sales tax exclusion for up to 10,500 restaurants who could qualify up to $1,000 of sales tax exemption, which would equate to a little over $14,000 of purchases for things that they had to do to cover the health requirements under COVID-19. So this would help a lot of those restaurants. There's another $60 million of other conformity, conforming to tax, no taxes on EIDL loans or SBA loans. And there's also some things in here for farmers. It fixes the Section 179 little glitch we had to fix. It increases the beginning farmer's credit and also increases qualifying relative homestead, which is will benefit a lot. So, members, those are kind of the main areas of where these dollars are going. How do we pay for that? We do that by creating a tax system that levels the playing field, creates more tax fairness, and addresses the income inequality that we have. So there's two main ways in which we raise the revenue. Number one, we create a fifth tier marriage joint filing over $1 million, an increase percentage rate of 1.3%. Members, we know that this COVID-19 has hit people very disproportionately. We know that the poorer you were, or if you were a minority, the harder you've been hit by COVID-19. The most recent Deed report that came out, it was the March unemployment data that came out just this last week, showed that Black Minnesotans have a 9% unemployment rate, 50% higher than whites. We know that 57% of those who received unemployment insurance represent the bottom 40% of our income levels. And where typically, when we go into economic downturns, the income disparity tends to get closer because stocks and capital gains and so forth are lost. This has been historically unique in that the income disparity has actually gotten greater. And so we deal with that in this bill. And also I will say that the fact that our frontline workers and small businesses sacrifice, they might have closed down and so forth, their sacrifice made this state healthier and helped people who are doing very well to do better. The second way in which we raise revenue is by addressing a huge problem, a huge unfairness that we have in the state, and it is bringing back income and profits by corporations that have been earned here in the state of Minnesota, but through multinational corporations shifted to countries like Bermuda and the Cayman Islands. We bring those dollars back to Minnesota. And we do that not through the tax havens, as you remember Representative Hornstein used to do. We bring it back through a tool that was given to us during the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. It was given to us and passed by a Republican Congress and signed into law by President Trump, and that is the Global Intangible Low Tax Income, or GILTI, which means if there is a controlled foreign corporation that triggers GILTI, Minnesota, we bring those dollars back to Minnesota because that indicates through this formula that they're shifting taxes. And members, this is a huge problem. And the biggest thing, this creates a huge competitive disadvantages for small businesses. I mean, our small businesses, think about this. Again, our restaurants, our hardware stores, our mom and pop shops, our beauty salons, none of those can shift their profits to Bermuda. And their largest competitors should not be able to do that either. That is not fair. We ask these restaurants to shut down. We ask beauty salons to shut down during COVID-19. They sacrificed. And we can't ask these corporations who are earning profits in Minnesota but shifting them because they can do that. It's legal. They can do it. Shifting it. That means our small businesses, your Main Street businesses, are paying more and getting less in services. We've got to address that. And if this isn't the solution, what is? What is? And so there's the main ways in which we raise revenue. And just a few more things, members, because we're going to hear about tax increases. But I want all the members to think about this. Again, think about your restaurant. Think about your beauty salon. Think about your grocery store. Think about your hardware store. Think about your drug store. If they're not a multinational corporation shifting profits to the Cayman Islands, or if they didn't earn over $1 million in profits, they're not paying these taxes. They're not paying these taxes, but they're going to receive hundreds of millions of dollars in tax cuts and aid to help them not only recover from COVID-19, but to be stronger into the future. And so a few other things we do, member. I want you to think about that as we continue to discuss this bill. But also in this bill, 43 communities are specifically benefited, either through a sales tax exemption, a local option sales tax provision, a tax increment financing provision, or like Alexandria, Melrose, and Minneapolis, remediation for fires. One final thing about this bill that I am proud about that we did as a committee is we've done some things to make the tax system more accountable and more transparent to taxpayers. There is a tax expenditure review commission. There is a taxpayer's receipt where you will be able to see where your dollars are going and what type of value you're getting. And there's a Minnesota Property Taxpayers Day, increasing more accountability to taxpayers, property taxpayers. So members, this is a good bill. It says to our families and our workers and our students and the small businesses, we have your back. We have your back. And we do that. And we do that in a way in which we level the playing field, we create more fairness, and we address the income inequity that exists. So members, I'm open for questions and appreciate your support of House File 991 as amended.
Madam Chair.
Got it. Thank you, Chair Marquardt. Members, do you have any questions or comment? I see Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Marquardt. I just love your passion for taxes. I enjoy dollars and dealing with statistics as well. My concern isn't a concern so much as a very brief question. Some of the controversy that we've had is over the PPP loans and taxation and so forth of it, as well as unemployment. I'm just unclear as to whether or not all the grants and stuff that we have for small businesses and individuals, did we make them tax exempt this go around, or are they still going to be hit with government taking back some of that?
Chair Marquardt.
So thank you, Chair Moran. I don't know if I completely understood that question, Representative Petersburg, but for 2020, we would exempt the first $350,000 on the loans, which covers over 90% completely, and everyone would at least get that first $350,000 covered. So I don't know if I answered that.
Representative Petersburg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, and Mr. Chair, I thought you had commented that there were some new programs that were going to be implemented in this year for grants for businesses, et cetera. And those are the ones that I was curious about. And if there isn't anything new, I just thought I'd heard there are some new grants. And if there's not, that's fine. But if there is, are we making sure that those are tax exempt?
Chair Marquardt.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Moran. So in this bill, new grants would be those county relief business grants, and those would not be taxable. Okay. And so as far as my indication there, but I think, you know, DOR, Department of Revenue, is on the line. They could ask about that. But I do know also that in the conformity on the EIDL grants and some Small Business Association administration loans and grants, We are conforming to that in this bill too. But the question on the grants that go out to businesses through the counties, that would be a good question for DOR, if that's what you're asking, Representative Petersburg.
It is.
Okay. Can I have someone from the Department of Revenue respond to Representative Petersburg's question around grants? Who do we have on? Let's see here.
Hi, Chair Moran. Hi. For the record, my name is Tracy Fishman. I am an assistant commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Revenue. I do want to make sure I answer this question accurately. From what I understand, the business relief payments that were issued most recently through March 15th, those grants directly to businesses were taxable. But if we have any other or additional or different information, I will get back to you as soon as I can.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. So would that be the same truth in these new grants going through the county as well, that they would also be taxable?
Ms.
Thank Fishman. You, Mr. Madam Chair.
Yep. Madam Chair, Representative Peters, Mr. Klayman could answer that too. I think we've got House nonpartisan staff on. I'd rather have him answer that than me. I would think it probably would be the same treatment, but if Mr. Klayman could answer that.
Okay, to Mr. Klayman.
Thank you. Yes, Madam Chair and members, I think we'll give this a qualified yes. It looks like those grants would probably be taxable in the same way that they were. The grants back in December were taxable. Again, with, you know, questions like this, we always want to, you know, put in some due diligence and some research before we provide a more definite answer. But I think for now, a qualified yes is the best answer for that.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. And I guess that gives me a little bit of a concern. As you know, that's one of the struggles that we've had in the past is that it's businesses who get these grants to really help themselves out and then all of a sudden find out that they have to pay some of it back is very troublesome. And I'm surprised that we didn't make sure that this go around, we would take care of that before so we didn't have to deal with it in the past. So we may have some more discussion on the floor as well, but thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative O'Neill.
Madam Chair. Chair Marquardt, I'm looking at the bill and I see that you've included Representative David's bill, House File 1503, that unilaterally exempts construction material sales tax for police and fire stations owned by local governments starting June 30th of 2021. My question is, because of COVID, there's a whole bunch of projects, and mine included in Buffalo, and you graciously gave us a second hearing because COVID happened and everything came to a screeching halt. Are you somewhere in the bill? I'm not seeing it. If I'm missing it, let me know. But I don't see several projects that probably should have been included in the fire station in Buffalo, fire station in Minnetonka, Maplewood, St. Peter, there's a whole list of them, Bloomington, Proctor, on and on and on. I'm just wondering, I'm hoping you didn't leave out some local projects in doing the 1503 bill. I'm just wondering if you could clarify.
Chair Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Representative O'Neill, I'll give this to Ms. Hagler, but so I think they should all pretty much be covered. Representative David's bill was kind of a blanket, and so where that covered some, we still have it, I think, listed in the spreadsheet, but it would be covered under Representative David's bills, and the other ones, if it was before this date, would stand kind of on their own. But Ms. Hagler, I think, could answer that question.
Ms. Hagler, to Representative O'Neill question.
Chair Moran and Representative O'Neill, yes, in the sales tax article, starting in section 11, there are these city-specific sales tax exemptions. And so what happened with the city of Buffalo, the dates were adjusted a little bit to account for the project before June 30 of this year. And so the sales tax exemption goes back to March 31 of last year and then all the way up through July 1 of this year when the David's provision would take over for that. And then the provisions for the other localities are in sections 11 through 20. So they weren't necessarily left out. They're just either covered fully by the David's exemption or covered up until the David's exemption, if that makes sense.
Thank you, Ms. Hagler. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you. I was hoping that was the answer. And Representative or Chair David, or Chair Marquardt, excuse me. Just wondering, I was writing down all the tax exemptions. I think you kept saying billions when you meant millions, but in any case, what you didn't say once you said all of the exemptions were the revenue raisers, can you just tell me what the fifth tier and the guilty changes would raise in each of those two categories?
Chair Marquardt.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Neill, without looking at the spreadsheet, I think I know this. The fifth tier would raise $563 million over the biennium, and the guilty provisions raise $399.5 million over the biennium.
Representative O'Neill.
Okay, thank you. And also, let's see. So that's pretty close to a billion. Is there something else that you're doing to raise revenue, or is it just those two?
Chair Marquardt.
Yeah, thank you very much, Madam Chair and Representative O'Neill. There's another $53 million on repatriation dollars that have come back from that were earned in foreign nations that have come back. That would be taxed. And then there is, I think, $6.2 million to try to clarify resident trust. There was a couple, there's a Minnesota Supreme Court case that dealt with that, and then the U.S. Supreme Court wouldn't hear the case, so it's trying to fix that language. And then there would be a little bit on including vapor heating devices as part of basically cigarette taxes, which I think is maybe another $1.8 million. So, you know, 95% of it would be those first two items we listed.
Yep. Representative O'Neill.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I see our lead has more questions, so I just wanted to clarify those few things as I was looking through the bill. I appreciate the clarity. I will look closer at Section 11 and make sure that all that's there, because I know these communities that really, for no fault of their own, because of COVID, we weren't able to do the tax bill in the last biennium for these, about a dozen or so local communities. So I just want to make sure that's there, and I appreciate your feedback. Thank you, Chair Marquardt.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure that there's no other members of the committee who wish to speak on the bill before I give my closing comments.
Okay. I don't see anyone, but is there anyone else who would like to have a question or comment? To you, Representative Garofalo.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members, Representative Marquardt, usually Representative Davids likes to name the tax bills. He likes to give them assign a song name from it, and he does a better job than me at that. But I was thinking, I was trying to figure out what song Representative Davids is going to assign to your tax bill, Representative Marquardt. And my first thought was maybe this song by Metallica off the Master of Puppets album, The Thing That Should Not Be. I thought it might be that. And then I thought, no, a better one would be one of the songs off of Led Zeppelin's first album. And that would self-titled debut album, Led Zeppelin, and that song would be Dazed and Confused. I think that would be an option too. But finally, I think the third option, I think this is the best one. It would really be the Steve Miller Band, which is Take the Money and Run. I think that's probably the best way to name this one. And Representative Marquardt, I think a lot of people are watching today's hearing more than normal. People who are either unemployed or small businesses whose PPP loans are now subject to taxation. It takes state action, as you mentioned, to take state action to conform us with that and make sure that those loans are not taxed. They don't understand, these people, these business owners, they don't understand the legislative process. Everyone tells them that they're in favor of forgiving their loans, the taxes on their loans, so they don't have to pay in either taxes on unemployment insurance income, paying taxes in on PPP loans. Explain to people why, for those listening, explain to them why those two provisions that we all agree on, with the state of Minnesota having a budget surplus, why can't we pass those provisions separately and then fight about everything else? Why does everything else have to be attached to the PPP loans and the unemployment insurance tax relief?
Chair Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo. First of all, we're waiting for the Senate to come up with their tax bill yet. I mean, the bill that they had before Senate filed 263 was incomplete because it did hardly anything for unemployment insurance. And one of the things that I think I've emphasized in this bill is that we're trying to, and we've been ready to do this from day one, is to do a bill that includes everyone. Don't leave anyone behind, because we know that so many workers and families and small businesses were hurt by this pandemic, but they might not have benefited from the PPP loan forgiveness. And so part of it is to make sure that we get everyone together. But, you know, we understand the importance of this and to try to do this as quickly as possible. And I'm hoping that, you know, we do have a little more time. May 17th was the filing deadline was extended. We're hoping we can get this done quickly. I'm hoping leadership and the governor can come together yet and come to an agreement well before May 17th so we can negotiate this with the Senate and the governor and get things done. So we want to do it as quickly as possible, but one thing we've really demanded on the House side is that it include everyone. And you know what I've seen so far hasn't done that on the Senate side.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Marquardt, again, the issue of unemployment insurance being excluded from taxation and the PPP loans, there's no one in the legislature against that, Republican or Democrat, House or Senate. So why do all these other things get attached to those two things? The guidance we have from the federal government on this, if we just conform to their tax laws, we can do this. You mentioned in your comments the concerns of, about equity. We know that ethnic minorities are the ones who are disproportionately paying these taxes. So why do we have to put in these long list of tax provisions and attach it to these? Why can't we just do the UI and the PPP? For people who are watching, small business owners, just explain to them that fact. You said you want to take care of everyone. I respect that. But why can't there be two separate tax bills? Why can't you put the UI and PPP loans into one bill and then put all this other tax garbage into another one? Explain to the public why that can't happen.
Chair Marquardt.
Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo. Well, first of all, the Senate, I don't think has even heard a full exemption to unemployment insurance. So you talk about everyone being on board on the unemployment insurance. My understanding is the Senate is not on board. They're not even close on conforming to the unemployment insurance. And so that's totally unacceptable. I also want to make sure that if we're going to get a tax bill out, and if anyone who's followed the legislature over the years, we went several years without any tax bills. They're not easy to come by. And so we still have the time before May 17th filing date. And I know that there's a lot of CPAs watching what we do here, informing their clients. And we're making a huge step right here to do everything you just mentioned as quickly as we can. But I also want to make sure that, as this bill does, on the emergency injury disaster loans, the EIDL loans, and the Small Business Administration loans, I also want to provide the tax-free conformity on those too. You know, charitable contributions, there's a number of things that we may not get done either. So I think we all agree on the PPP loans and the unemployment insurance loans, but I think we have a lot of people that also say we should make sure we get these other things done too. But as I said, the Senate has not agreed. I don't know if they're in support of unemployment insurance full conformity right now, because they have not demonstrated that to this point.
Representative Garofalo.
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Marquardt, I don't like to speak for other legislators, and I don't like to speak for the chair of the Senate Tax Committee, but it's documented publicly, verbally, and in writing that both these provisions are unanimously supported by the legislature, House and Senate, Republican, Democrat. The chair of the Tax Committee has stated her support for it. And so all the other issues you're heaping onto this issue, right? So first of all, the CPAs, you're right, they're watching. Because what you're doing, Representative Marquardt, is you're ruining their summer. Because now, instead of them finishing up their work right now and being done with it, they're going to be working through May and June. So you're right. They are absolutely watching this. But I understand the points that there's these other items that you want to have attached to this. I understand that, and that there are legitimate, authentic tax fights. You're saying you're not sure what the Senate's going to do on UI or you're sure what they're going to do on PPP. They've said publicly they support those things, but let's just say for the sake of argument that you're right, okay? If we pass a bill that just does UI and PPP, right, and then the Senate doesn't take action on it, then you're 100% right. You get to blame them. It's their fault. We can all criticize the Senate for it. But what is the downside? Why, as a member of the House, why would any member of the public look at this and say, why not just pass the UI and the PPP? Don't blame the other party. Don't blame the other chamber. Why wouldn't we just do that part we agree on now? Explain to the members of the public, because they're looking at it going, wait, if everyone's in favor of it, why can't you do it? Just explain to them why you can't have more than one tax bill leave the House floor.
Chair Marquardt.
Thank you, Chair Moran and Representative Garofalo. We're still down 167,000 jobs. The leisure and hospitality industry is still down about 56,000, 21%. We've got families that don't know where their next paycheck is coming from. We've got people who have been unemployed for a long time. We've got businesses not knowing how they're going to survive. We've got frontline workers who were out there treating the people who were sick. And when they came home, to make sure that they didn't spread this on to their family, would either have to sleep in another room or another building or something. Representative Garofalo, I'm a lot more concerned about those folks than our CPAs having to work a little bit more this summer. That's what this bill is about. And that is why we're going to get a bill, because there is no guarantee. People watching, there is no guarantee there's going to be another train leaving the station. And we're going to make sure on the House DFL side that our workers are taken care of, our families are taken care of, our Main Street businesses are taken care of, everyone, everywhere, not just a select few, everyone is going to be on that train. And that's what we're going to do here. And so I think we're talking in circles here, but believe me, I care a lot more about these people who have lost their jobs and their families who are sacrificing the small businesses, quite frankly, than CPAs having to work a little bit more.
Well, Madam Chair, and in closing, it took four times to ask the question, but Representative Marquardt finally answered it that time. And the answer is he and the House DFL are taking hostages. That's what they've done. They've taken the unemployment insurance taxation exclusion. They've taken the PPP loans. They've taken them hostage so that they can build leverage or attempt to build leverage for their tax increases and other goofy revenue ideas at a time when we have $8 billion in federal money, $2.5 billion sitting in the bank, and a $1.5 billion budget surplus. Even then, the Democrats still want to raise taxes. And worst of all about these tax increases is by holding on to the UI, who are they really hurting? Are they hurting, wealthy white people out in the suburbs? No, that's not who's getting damaged. Even in Representative Marquardt's own testimony, he highlighted who is being hurt the most by unemployment. It is people of color. It's low-income, middle-income folks who right now are having to pay higher taxes to the state of Minnesota when none of our neighboring states are doing this, none of them. It is literally a tax increase on people who lost their jobs last year. And rather than just passing what is agreed on, the House DFL has plenty of leverage on the Senate for all these other issues, all these other obscure tax provisions. But for those who lost their jobs last year, the reason why they're having to pay money into the state of Minnesota is because the House DFL wants political leverage. This is a chip. It's a trading chip, a negotiation tactic at a very time when people need help the most. So what's going to be fun is this bill is going to leave the floor, and I am hoping my Senate Republican colleagues do the smart thing, and that is they take everything out of this bill and they just send back the UI and the PPP. Just put those provisions on and send them back. Boy, is that going to be a fun vote on the House floor for that concurrence motion. But the idea that we have to have this consolidation, one size, everything jammed into one bill, high stakes, take it or leave it bill, this is nothing but an excuse for the sequel of the leadership tribunal. This is a recipe for three people making all the decisions and telling everybody else what to do. So there's no reason we can't be helping people who lost their jobs last year. There's no reason that small businesses across Minnesota should be having to pay taxes on the money that was designed for assistance, money that was designed to help them. And now Paul Marquardt and the DFL want to take the money and spend it when there's a surplus. It's ridiculous, and it's without precedent. It's totally unnecessary. But I'll save my comments for the floor. I'm voting no. We encourage members to do the same.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. Seeing no further questions, I just want to thank Chair Marquardt for bringing us a tax bill that collects revenue in a way that is fair, responsible, and sustainable so that we can make all of the important investments for Minnesotans that have moved through this committee. You know, Representative Marquardt, I heard you say that, members, this is a good bill. I'm going to repeat that. Members, this is a good bill. You know, you also said this is a bill that says we have your back. We have the back of small businesses, restaurants, beauty shops, barbershops, you know, those hardware stores, the hospitality industry. It goes on. So I just want to say thank you for your dedication and your work that you have done as the chair of the tax committee. And so I'm going to stop there, Chair Marquardt, and just give you the last words.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the discussion. You know, this has been a tough time, COVID-19, and we've had a lot of people that have sacrificed, and we know it has hit families and people and businesses differently, very much so. And if people take a good, honest look at this bill and think about the people that are being helped, those who lost their jobs, think about that. I mean, we as legislators, our income is very secure. But think about the hundreds of thousands of people who lost their jobs and lost their income or might have lost a business or something. Think about the income insecurity they have. Think about how that would turn your life upside down. Does this bill solve all those problems? No. But it's going to provide some very needed tax relief to those workers and families and small businesses that were hit hardest by the COVID-19. And it's going to provide aid that they need now, right now. And we pay for this. We pay for this by doing the right thing, making a system that levels the playing fields fair and deals with addressing income inequity. And I'm going to say again, think about all the people in your community that are hurting. And I'm going to say, if they are not a multinational corporation that shifts Minnesota profits to these foreign countries, or if they didn't make over $1 million, which is less than one half of 1% of all the filers in Minnesota, and by the way, half of the people that will be under the fifth tier, over half are non-residents. But the aid and over $1 billion of tax cuts and aid are going to help your communities and people in those communities. Members, you know, there's no perfect bills to get this done. But this says again to our families and our workers and our students and small businesses, we have your back. No matter where you live, who you are, for everyone everywhere in Minnesota. Members, I'd ask for your support on the bill. And thank you again.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. There being no further discussion, Chair Marquardt renews his motion that House File 991, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register, and that nonpartisan staff be instructed to make any necessary technical corrections. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan?
Aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
Johnson, no.
Johnson, no. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Representative Nash, excused. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pulowski?
Pulowski, no.
Pulowski, no. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, no.
Petersburg, no. Representative Pinto?
Pinto, aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Schultz?
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. 17 ayes and 10 nays.
Okay, there have been 17 ayes and 10 nays. The motion prevails. House File 991, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register. Thank you, Chair Marquardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Yeah. So, members, our committee has completed most of its regular business for the session. We will need to continue meeting in the weeks ahead, including tomorrow. We have a bill that needs to come back to our committee to make some fixes to the bill. And so we will be meeting tomorrow from 9 to 10:30. But I would also just like to, and staff will give you more information about what that entails. So just keep your eyes open for that. I would also like to take a moment now to thank everyone on the committee for their work so far this year, especially over the last week. I have appreciated how the Ways and Means Committee creates a space. We create a space for members to really focus on talking to one another. I believe that dialogue is healthy, and it helps us to better understand each other's positions as we move to the floor. And I want to thank all of our chairs who stepped up to the task of building equity into the heart of their bills. We have produced a state budget in the Minnesota House that will help reduce disparities in every aspect of life. And we should be really, really proud of that. And so what I would like to do, since this is really our last hearing of regular business, is to allow other chairs, if they would like to. Well, I was going to say chairs to reflect on any of the actions you think we have had here in the Ways and Means. But what I would like to do is just reflect a little bit as chair of Ways and Means. This being my first term of the Ways and Means, you know, I remember, you know, once I was notified that I would be chair of Ways and Means, thinking, you know, what do that mean? How do I navigate through this? How do I work this? And how do I work to ensure that coming out of Ways and Means that we have a budget, that we have a budget that's moving to the floor that is more document of who we are as Democrats. Democrats who take care, that doesn't look at supporting just some of us, but looks at how we can work to support all of us. That it will be a reflection of the Select Committee on Racial Justice and some of those recommendations that came out of it. And, you know, I really end this day very happy with our chair's leadership and really looking at those who have historically been disproportionately impacted by systems that you were able to see and hear these communities that have historically been left out. And that we create a process where every person has the ability to thrive. And it's important that we do that as lawmakers, because there can be laws and policies that create practices that really disproportionately impacts communities. And we have saw that for our communities of color. So I end my first term as the chair of Ways and Means, believing that the Democratic Party is leading. You have led. You have created processes that are fair, that is equitable, that makes communities who historically who recognize that they have been left out of decision-making process. And investments. And so, Chair Marquardt, I'm just going to just use your words that I heard you say a couple of times. One is, we have had good bills. Not only is the tax bill a good bill, we've had good bills. And the second is that the DFL party has the backs of people, whether they lost a job, where with social distancing, through social distancing, our students and our teachers have been struggling, whether we are realizing the impact that small businesses have had struggling through this COVID-19, nothing on, you know, because of their own, but because of COVID-19. COVID-19 showed up, and we realized that we have a responsibility to others beyond ourselves to get it under control. And so we'll work our way through this. We're in a good place to help our state bounce back. And I am happy that I played a role in to create a process that looks at our decision-making process through a race equity lens, And so with that, I'm going to just stop. It is 10:08. We're going to end early. Let's take this back and reflect. I look forward to having this bill, the tax bill, on the floor. And with that, I'm just going to say our meeting is adjourned. Thank you all, and have a good day.